Thank you, choir. Turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2 in the Bible. It's the fifth book in the Old Testament. So if you start from the beginning and go to the fifth book, you'll get to Joshua. Okay, so let's stand. I'm going to read the Word of God, and we will look at this chapter tonight. You follow along as I read the Word of God, Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came in men hither tonight to the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For if we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye also will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall, town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made on us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went out and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Let's pray together. Father, we pray you to bless now the word of God as we look in it tonight. May you be lifted up. May your son be glorified. Might your Holy Spirit work in hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, truly, this is a great chapter in the Bible. Wow. Here we have this great account that we have read. The people of Israel are on the east side of the Jordan. They have not yet crossed over. Joshua has just taken over the leadership of the people. Moses has died, and the leadership has transferred to Joshua. And now we see that Joshua is sending out two spies into the land. Now, what a contrast between the spies that were sent out into the land in Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers 13, where there was a spy sent out for every tribe, and they went into the land, and they came back faithless, except for two. They came back faithless, except for two. And here we find these two spies going into land, and they came back full of faith. Wow, what a contrast. Now, as we think about this, we want to think about, first of all, we want to think about what Joshua was doing. What was Joshua doing? What was Joshua doing as a leader of the people of God? What was Joshua doing? Now, I think we have very great Bible spiritual principle here about how God works. And Joshua understood that Bible principle. And he was acting on that Bible principle. What is the Bible principle? The Bible principle is, when it is God's will, you will see God working. When it is God's will, you will see God working ahead of you. When it is God's will, you will see God working ahead of you. Now, notice what took place. The spies go into the land. And they went to Rahab's house. Now, obviously, Rahab's house was open to anyone. That's where they went. Very unlikely place to find faith, right? But you know what? When you think about going into a land, whose house are you going to go to? Well, the harlot's house is going to receive strangers, isn't it? That's where they went. Now, obviously, they didn't go there for sin. But they went there as part of the plan to spy out the land. Now, think about a couple things here. You don't normally think about this. But you know, you see that these two spies, kind of a dangerous situation, don't you think so? They go right into the city of Jericho. You know? Go right smack dab into the middle of the city. You know, what would you have done? You know? Get about, 2,000, 3,000 feet away and say, well, let's see how it looks over there. You know? Oh, it looks okay. Or whatever. Nope. That wasn't them. They went right snap dab in the middle of the city. Enemy territory. Enemy territory. Now that tells us something. What kind of men were these that Joshua sent? You know, the Bible talks about faithful messengers, doesn't he? You know, a faithful messenger. Unfaithful messenger is like smoke in the eyes and a foot out of joint. You can't do much, you know. But these were faithful men. And you know why they were faithful men? Because they had faith. They had faith to go into this city, and they were looking to spy out the land. What were they looking for? That's the second issue. What were they looking for? They were looking for, the New Testament word is the Son of Peace. They're looking for the Son of Peace. The Old Testament phrase was they were looking for the evidence that God was going before them. That God was working before them. You understand that principle? That God, when you're in God's will, God is showing himself great. Now you won't know it unless you have courage and faith to obey God. You don't have courage and faith to obey God. You know, God's will, people want God's will to be easy. Isn't that right, Mr. Haynes? They want God's will to be easy. Oh man, this is great. You know, I want to see God work, but it's going to be easy. No, it wasn't easy. How many want to volunteer right now? And let's go volunteer to go inside of Jericho and take a look around there. No, I don't think there'd be too many takers. But they go into the inside of the city. They have great faith to trust God. God said, this is my will for you to take this land. Now you need to go into this land and spy it out. Now, there are some purposes for that. And we find out the purpose, the ultimate purpose of that. The spies come back, and what do they say? Verse 24. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the land, of the country, do faint because of us. Now think about Numbers 13 and 14. What do the spies 40 years earlier say? Oh man. There are some giants in the land. Let me tell you what. They are skilled warriors in the land. I tell you what. They got walled cities. We'll never be able to defeat them. These two spies come back. And they say, I tell you what. The Lord certainly is going to give us this land. You know why? The people are afraid. They're fainting. They're worried. They're worried stiff. They heard about the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea. They heard of the defeat of these unbelievable kings, Og and Sihon. And wow, they were giants, and they just was nothing for those Israelites. Oh man, you know, oh man, they're coming this way. Oh boy, man. The God of Israel, that's really the real God of heaven and earth. That's the report that came back, wasn't it? You know what? It was an encouraging report. It was an encouraging report. Now, why was it an encouraging report? Well, first of all, it was an encouraging report because the spies were men of faith. They were men of faith themselves. You know, did you ever figure that out? Men of faith can't see God working. You notice that? They're naysayers. Oh, we can't do this. Never get accomplished. Oh, you know, there's another crazy proposal. You know, this is no way. You know, people that don't have faith, they are naysayers. Now, I know why they're naysayers, because people of faith don't want to have to get involved. They don't want to have to pay the price. I mean, excuse me, the people of lack of faith. Thank you. I saw that look. Okay. Those that don't have faith, they're naysayers. You know why? Because they don't have faith. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to have to trust God. You know, I say in a church situation, in my experience, the naysayers, many times, they're naysayers, not because they really care about God's will or not, but because it might cost them something in their pocket. Sorry to say, that's my observation. But we have Joshua sending men of faith. And these men were men of courage. They were men of faith. We see that by going into the city. And when they go into the city, they come back and they see that God was preparing the way. They see that God was preparing the way. You know, life is full. You know, one thing that's exciting about being a member of a church is you get to have your faith challenged in a real way, not some spiritual, emotional way that, you know, just is just in the sky and has no grit to it. But you know, in a church, you get to really test it. I remember when we started the Christian school. You know, I had people say to me, "You know what, Pastor? If you start a Christian school, we're behind you." You know, and Pastor, you need to start a Christian school. We need to have a Christian school. And you know what? I'm behind you. Do it. You know. And so I had these people. He said, "Start a Christian school." You know. And so I says, "Okay, we're starting a Christian school." Came to the point. Says, "Okay, it's time. We're starting a Christian school." And you know, these people who said, "Start a Christian school, Pastor," you know, stand out, jump over the cliff, you know, jump off, you know, put yourself out on the line and go do it, you know. And so I said, "Okay, we're starting a Christian school." "Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about it, Pastor. I don't know." And, you know, that wasn't one person. It was more than one person. Very person that said, you know, go put yourself on the line, put your, you know, risk everything, and et cetera, et cetera. And they said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You said. You know, a lot of people want other people to have faith, but they don't want to have faith themselves. And so, church is a place where you have your faith tested. Now, if you don't want to have your faith challenged, you don't want to be in a real church. You want to be in a, just a sit in the pew place where you can have a good time and have a nice little Christian family and a nice Christian life and et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to be in a real church, you're going to have some faith exercised. And you know, faith always involves risk. Risk. You're going to have to risk something, whatever it is. But you have to risk something. You're going to have to get out on the line and risk something. Maybe you have to risk your reputation. Maybe you have to risk your money. Maybe you have to risk your time. Maybe whatever. You're going to have to risk it. You're going to have to invest it. You have to give. These men had faith. And because they were men of faith, they could see God working. Now, I say all that because hopefully you know the Bible. Numbers 13 and 14. We might as well go back there for a minute. And I wasn't planning on getting, sidetracked, but we need to have the right perspective here. Numbers 13, the spies are sent into the land. Okay? And this is 40 years previous. Numbers 13, verse 20. Verse 18. It says, see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether it be tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good, what? Be of good courage. You know, the other half of be of good courage is? Have faith. Have faith. But you know what? They didn't have faith. And so notice what it says. It says in Numbers 14. Verse 7. Other ones, okay? I got it back here. Verse 27 of chapter 13. And they told him and said, we came into the land, and surely it does flow with milk and honey. Numbers 13, 28. Nevertheless, that's the big word, isn't it? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, in other words, giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report. An evil report. So, they didn't have faith. They didn't bring a good report. They said, oh, our wives and our children are going to get killed. Can't do it. Now, the same land, Joshua sent in two spies. And they come back, and what do they say? They said, 2:24, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. Okay, so what did they see that they could say that? Well, notice what Rahab says to them. Verse 10 of chapter, he says, verse 9, and she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt, what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Now, guess what? These people were the same people 40 years earlier who had heard about the plagues in Egypt. These were the same people who had heard of how God opened up the Red Sea. And how the people had crossed through the Red Sea and the great army of Pharaoh was drowned in the waters when God sent it back. Now, the 10 spies, the 12 spies, when they went, the 12, the 10 who had an evil report, guess what? All they saw was the cities, the soldiers, the height of the people. They didn't see what God had done in their hearts. They didn't see what God did. And because they didn't see what God did, they came back with an evil report. Now, I want us to show you a principle. This is a principle in the Bible. Turn with me to Judges 7. And there's so much more to talk about in this chapter. I want to talk about Rahab. She is a tremendous example of a heathen coming to God in faith. Wow, what a great testimony of real faith she was. But Judges chapter 7, okay? And here we have Gideon leading the people against the Midianites. In Judges chapter 6, it says, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of East were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Man, this is a great, huge army. I mean, it's a huge army. And the Midianites were so in charge of the land that the people of Israel, they would take their wheat or whatever it was, they'd gather it, and they would go to the threshing floor at night in the dark, hiding from the Midianites, because the Midianites would take all their crops and steal them, and they were living in poverty and had tremendous dominion over them. And and so they were very powerful, very strong army. And the Israelites were few. And Gideon told, God told Gideon, okay, gather an army, and you're going to defeat the Midianites. And of course, you know, it's like a midget fighting a whole crew of giants. And of course, we know the story. There's 10,000 Israelites gathered together, and God says, that's too many. Send them home. You know, send them home. And of course, it got down to 300 people, right? 300 people. God says, okay, 300, that's enough to destroy all these thousands and thousands of Midianites, you know. And so Gideon sends out a spy. And that's where we're in Judges 7. Verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, this great army, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hand be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Pura his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. That's a lot of people. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man. He overheard this man telling a dream. That's he got, you know, he snuck up to him at night. He was outside the army, and he was close enough to hear what they were saying. You know? And one fella of the Midianites was telling another fella the dream that he had. Where do you think the dream came from? God. And guess what he said? He said, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, this is the dream. Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. Okay, so here's this little tiny loaf of bread. And somehow this loaf of bread is tumbling down the road and it hits this big tent of Midianites and whoosh, the whole thing falls over from a loaf of bread. You know, that's kind of a strange dream. And the fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Ha. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of this dream and the interpretation thereof, that he whispered and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian. Wow. Guess what? The host of the Midianites were terrified. They're terrified of Gideon and his little army. And here's this multitude of soldiers with a multitude of camels. You know, I wouldn't want to get run over by a camel. And he said, guess what? Their hearts were terrified. And when the guy got the dream of this bread rolling over the tent, and this is certainly a sign that we're going to be defeated. You see, the Lord was working, wasn't he? The Lord was working. The Lord was working ahead of Gideon, wasn't he? He was working in the hearts, in the lives of these Midianites so that they were fearful. Wow. You know, God works ahead. Isn't that great? God works ahead. Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul was in the great city of Corinth. And you know, most of the cities the Apostle Paul went, he ended up in jail. And guess what? In Corinth, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. And all the people in his household. I mean, if he was ruler of the synagogue, he probably had a pretty big household. He had a bunch of servants, and there was a lot of people who lived in his house, you know, besides his family. And they all believed. They all believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Oh, no, now you're stirring up a big hornet's nest, aren't you? Everywhere Apostle Paul went, when some Jews got saved, oh, boy, they stirred up the people, didn't they? They stirred up the people. They got riots going, and Apostle Paul ended up in jail, etc. And so the Bible tells us that obviously Apostle Paul was really concerned about his ministry in Corinth. Notice what the Lord said to him. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Notice, they heard, they believed, and then they were baptized. That's the Bible order. Not get baptized and then hear and believe. No, the Bible order is you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, and then after you're saved, you're baptized. That's the Bible order. Any other order isn't biblical, and it isn't baptism. Verse 9 is the one we're looking at. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid. Now, why do you say that? It's pretty simple. You know why he said don't be afraid? Because he was afraid. That's why. He's afraid. What are they going to do to me? Crispus got saved. Oh, man, what are they going to do to me? They tried to kill me these other places. Maybe I should just hightail it out of here. And what did the Lord say? Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace. In other words, keep preaching it. Don't hold it back. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. What a great truth. You know why God sent Paul to Corinth? It says so right here. Because he had much people in that city. He didn't send Paul to Corinth because nobody was going to get saved. No! He sent Paul to Corinth. And he gave Paul the Macedonian vision, and we aren't going to be able to talk about that. Why? Because he had a plan, and he was working ahead. But it takes faith to obey God, to do his will, have courage, and then have the privilege of seeing God work. There's a Bible principle. Now, Brother Needham, when he came here, he talked about Luke chapter 10. And he talked about the Son of Peace. And Jesus is sending the disciples into the cities. And he says, now every city you go to, if there's someone that will receive you, and let you stay in their house, now you know there's an opening in this city for the word of God. And so he says, into whatsoever house ye enter, this first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, that's Jesus, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, etc. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even this very, the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Well, here's a Bible principle. And there's a lot of aspects to it. You know, when God's will, he works ahead. He works miraculously, he provides the way. Brother Needham talked about how he went to Cameroon, and he went to this village. And I'm going to make it real short. The village was a Muslim village. And no, Muslims aren't very friendly to the gospel. But to make a long story short, other people from other parts of Cameroon said, hey, why don't you come and start a ministry in our town? And the chief of the village heard about it. And he said to Brother Needham, no, you're not leaving our village. In fact, we will give you the nicest piece of land in the area for you to build your house. But you're staying here. Wow. That was God, wasn't it? The man was unsaved. But God was working. And that's what it's saying here. And Brother Needham called that man the Son of peace. You know, when we came to Mequonago, we realized, there's a lot about the story, but when we came to Mequonago, after a while, we said, you know, we're going to have some land. And I was pretty much a greenhorn in life, and I was certainly a greenhorn in real estate. And I was certainly a greenhorn in finances, because I never had any money. Okay? But I had it in my mind from council that what we needed to do was we needed to find a piece of land with at least 5 acres with a house on it. And Pastor Lincoln over there at Watertown said, that's what you need to do, Ron. You need to find a piece of land with a house on it. Because you don't want a vacant piece of land. Because if you have a vacant piece of land, not only were you going to have to build a church building, but you're going to have a parsonage. And how are you going to build? If you build a parsonage, you won't have a money to build a church building. And if you build a church building, you won't have money to build a parsonage. So you got to find a piece of land that has an old house on it, because you can get the house with the land for about the same price as you can get a piece of land for. And so I told the real estate people, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a piece of land that has a house on it, at least 5 acres. And they were very kind to me, but they basically, I didn't realize this, they just laughed at me. You know, impossible. I told them how much money we were going to, you know, we're thinking of spending. And, you know, they said, impossible. It's never going to happen. And, you know, I didn't know that banks don't loan money to people that don't have money. Do you ever figure that out? If you want to get some money from the bank and you don't have any money, they just say goodbye. I didn't know that. I was really green. And so we're looking for land, 5 acres with a house on it. And we didn't know it was impossible. But make a long story short, Lord led us to this piece of property. And Farmer Schultz had just made the last payment on it. He had bought the farm of 220 acres. He had just made the last payment. He was renting the house. And I went down to the house and I said to these people, is this place for sale? They said, we sure hope not. But we're not the owners. Go to such and such a place. And there's the owner. And so I went to the Schultz farm. I said, hey, do you own such and such a place? Is it for sale? They said, no. But you know, there's this farm on the corner of 83 and L. That place is for sale. Why don't you go there? And I said, no, it's too far out of town. Not interested. And I said, will you pray about it? Will you pray about it? What do you think about it? I don't know if I said pray about it or not, but we were praying about it. And he said, well, I'm going to Florida. I'll let you know in a couple weeks. So we went back to him a couple weeks, called him up. He said, come on over. And he says, what are you thinking? And I said, well, we want a piece of land, big piece of land that will go from the road down to the house. You know, so we can have the house on the property. And the house was falling apart and the barns were falling apart. And he was paying big taxes on all of it. And he was going to be glad to get rid of it. But you know what? We didn't have any money. We had a little bit. We didn't have much money. And to make a long story short, he said, yeah, I'll sell it to you. And I know you don't have any money, so I'd sell it to you on land contract. I'll finance it. And I know you don't have any money, so you won't have to pay even the interest the first year. And he calls up. This deal hadn't even been sealed. He says, you know, I know you're thinking about buying that land, and the renters just moved out. Why don't you rent it from me and move in? And he said the rent will be $150 a month. I says, we'll do it. And he said, and we said, but you know what? The place needs some remodeling. Can we remodel it? And he said, well, sure. You want to pay for it, go do it. So we start remodeling this house we didn't even own. Start fixing it up. You know what? I found out later that Mr. Schultz's pastor was not happy that they sold us that property. But guess what? When you're in the will of God, God works. He's there. And you can see Him working. And there's a great truth. You know what? Joshua sends the spies into the land. And guess what he's expecting? He's expecting the spies to come back and say, guess what? They're all scared to death of us. Certainly, this is of the Lord. You know, there's a Bible principle. So we're going to start the ministry at UWW. We had no idea how to start a ministry at UWW. I was convinced that this is what we need to do. And so I said, you know what? The first thing we got to do is we got to send some spies over there. No, I didn't use that term. I said, we're going to go to the university and we're going to do some surveys. And we're going to go over there. We're going to start taking surveys and just feel the spiritual climate there, et cetera, et cetera. We had no idea how to start a ministry there. I didn't know about getting recognized by the university and getting a university organization and all. I had no idea. But so we sent the spies over there. And so we made these surveys and we started going over there on that spring of that year and taking surveys. And guess what? Scott Hatchett was there taking survey, and a guy comes up to him. This guy had big long hair, and he might even had some purple in it and whatever. But he came up to Scott, and he says, you know what? Are you any Pentecostal Baptist? And Scott says, yep. Hey, you're just the people I've been looking for. I believe that we need to start a non-compromising Bible study on this campus. And I want to help you. He was kind of unlikely candidate, we thought. But guess what? In August, I said to Scott, hey, you got this nice guy's phone number? We gotta figure out how to do this. He volunteered, so let's take him up on it. It was a launch into the deep. We called him up. He says, yep, I'm definitely interested. I want to help you out. So we met with Nathan Moon. And he looked more like an independent Baptist the second time we saw him. But he said, you know what? I've started campus organizations on campus before. I know exactly what you have to do. I know how you make a constitution. I know how you have to, who you have to talk to, how you have to go through the whole procedure. I can handle it all. Just, I'll do it. Wow. You know what? The Lord did it. The Lord did it. The Lord is a great God, isn't He? The Lord is a great God. Joshua said, you spies go on in there. And he didn't really, this is in between the lines. He says, I want to see how the Lord's preparing the people. I want to see the evidence that how the Lord has worked this thing out. And that is a Bible principle. God does it. You know what? It takes faith. I remember coming to this town, going to the museum on a Sunday afternoon. Mr. Grutzmacher, what are you guys doing here? He says, well, we believe God sent us here to start a new church in Maquonago. Really? That church across the street is almost going bankrupt. How are you going to start a new church in this town? And I thought to myself, you know what? It's a scary thing to say God sent you to a town to start a church. Because you know what? If that church doesn't get started, guess whose name just got muddied? God's name. It's a scary thing to say, God told us to do this. But he did. And you know what? God works ahead of you. We knew when we came to Quantico that although there was no, it just seemed impossible for 6 months or more, we didn't see anybody get saved. And we thought, oh man, how's this ever going to happen? But you know, God went before us. He was preparing hearts that we didn't even know. And that's how God's work always works. It's a Bible principle. Joshua knew it. You know, it goes the other way once too. One time, we had a new birth ministry. Falls Baptist had a new birth ministry, and they were seeing people get saved. And I said, well, we're going to have new birth ministry. People who just had babies, we'll go visit them. And so we did all this work. We got this all together. And after a while, it was just spinning our wheels. And I said, you know what? Something's wrong here. I don't know what was wrong. But we're just spinning our wheels. I says, and we're just spinning our wheels. God's not in this. Joshua knew when God is in something, he'll give you a token. But he expects you to have faith and courage. And to keep going no matter what. Now, and we'll stop here, but just think of Rahab. The same principle was in her life. Of all the people in the city, they all trembled at God. But she was the only one that did something about it. And God directed the spies to her house. Isn't that amazing? God knew her heart. Sent them to her house. And here is a woman who sees the hand of God and is going to respond in faith. Now, we aren't going to preach that sermon, but you know what? Do you think it was risky for her to hide those spies? I think it's pretty risky. You know what? If they would have caught her, guess what? She'd been a dead lady real fast. You know, faith always is willing to risk it all. We see it on all categories. Real faith is willing to risk it all to do the will of God. Now, as we close, we have a great principle here. Are you growing in faith? Somebody is wanting to take me to Culver's tonight. Do you have faith? You know, your faith is seen by what you're willing to risk for God. If you're drawing back, the problem is lack of faith. If you're drawing back, if you're drawing back from ministry, that's not faith. That's unbelief. But when you have faith, you go forward and you commit yourself to God's will, even though you may not be able to see how it's going to happen. But in that, God will show himself that he is going before you. And he will encourage you for you to keep going by faith so you can see his miraculous hand. So many applications to this, but it's a great principle. Joshua knew it. I hope you know it. If you don't know it, need to think about this great principle. This great principle for every church member. This is a great principle for every person that's going to serve the Lord with their life. This is a great principle for families. It's a great principle for young people who are thinking about serving God and their life being in the ministry. It's a great principle. And maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. And maybe you're one of those people that you're not really, you've lost a lot of your faith. When it comes to any of the things of God, you see the negative. When you see the things of God, you don't have faith. You see all the things that could go wrong. Instead of saying what God could make it go right. And may the Lord is speaking to your heart that somehow you have gotten out of the center of God's will for your life. And you know what? If you're not saved, it's a big step of faith to get saved, isn't it? But, you know what? If you're on that pathway, you can see how God has been working. But it still takes a big step of faith. It takes a big risk, doesn't it? Say, I'm going to make this decision to get saved. Now, maybe for you, for the will of God, you don't like feeling uncomfortable. Well, you'll never go forward for God ever. Because to do God's will, you're going to have to feel uncomfortable. Because God's the only one that can do it. But if you'll trust Him, He always will pave the way. You'll see the Son of Peace. You'll see Him going before. And you'll have the joy of seeing God fulfilling His will. Let's pray as we close. Lord, we thank You for the great truth that we see in the Bible today of how You work. And Lord, it's exciting. It's exciting to see how You work. Lord, it's exciting to see how You have given us this truth in the Bible. And Lord, it's exciting to in life to see those same principles taking place. Lord, it's a blessing that You are a great God and that Your will is so wonderful and that it's all about You working in a miraculous way that's beyond our comprehension. And now, Lord, I pray Your people would be encouraged. I pray that they would be lifted up out of being naysayers. They'd be lifted up out of being the negatives who say it can't be done and are limited by human perspective. I pray that, Lord, that You will help them to see that Your will is accomplished by You despite all the circumstances that may say contrary. And Lord, help us to help young people. Lord, help young people to believe Your will, that they can serve You with their life. They can be preachers. They can be missionaries. They can be used of Thee. Because it's You're the one that is the main issue. Your will, finding Your will, obeying Your will, and trusting You to do great things. So may the people of God be encouraged. May those that are unsaved, might they as well see the power of the living God and that they too by faith need to trust Him with their life. And by coming to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.